This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think a lot. You know, I think, you know, the possibilities are endless. I mean, when you look at Keenan's game, how complete it is, when you look at DJ Moore and how he's able to, you know, compete in the league at a high level for a long time now, you know, the possibilities are endless on what I'm able to learn. And that's why I say I'm going to go in there and soak all the information up that I can and learn from as much as I can from them, because, you know, they're already two very established, very elite receivers in the league.
Our live draft coverage continues on 670 The Score, presented by Chevy Drives Chicago. And the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
That was Rome Odunze, pick number 9 by the Bears. The wide receiver talking about playing with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, the possibility of. It's no longer a possibility. It's happening. I'm Rami Makhlouf. That's Hub Arkish. Obviously, the Bears took Caleb Williams with the number 1 pick in the draft. We'll get back to your calls. We'll hear from Rome Odunze a little later this hour, 312-644-6767, if you want to get on the line and hang there while we talk with Mark Grody, our Bears insider, who's live at Halas Hall right now. Grody, I imagine the vibes are immaculate in Halas Hall this evening.
Yeah, they are. It's been quite a night out here. I would say from a media perspective, guys, and it is a full house out here at Halas Hall in terms of that, there wasn't much drama or mystery. I mean, everybody knew that the Bears were going to take Caleb Williams at number 1. It was still a big moment, though, when they actually made it official, considering the credentials that Caleb Williams has. And then as far as Rome Odunze is concerned, you know, I did my little informal poll with my fellow media members before this, and I would say 3/4 of the media room said, yeah, at number 9, the Bears are going to take Rome Odunze. So it's something that has kind of been telegraphed. I mean, even going back to the combine, I had gotten some hints that it might be Rome Odunze at number 9. But it's a terrific pick to bring in Odunze, 6'3", 215. He's a big guy. He had about 109 yards per game last year for Washington, over 1,600 yards in all, 13 TDs, and he averaged about 18 yards per catch. So he's a big play guy for the Bears. I should also point out, too, that right now I am in what they call the Decatur room out here at Halas Hall. They've extended some of their extra rooms out here for us, and you know, just with the big crowd out here, about 2 floors up from me right now. Who knows? Maybe they could hear me through the vents right now, is where the Bears' actual war room is. Ryan Poles, after this thing is over, is going to come down and talk to us here. So probably about 15, 20, 30 minutes or so, we're going to hear from Poles, and he'll finally be able to answer some of the questions that he has been evading, especially on Caleb Williams, even though he knew they were going to pick him. He knew that we knew they were going to pick him. And now we'll actually get a chance to ask some questions about Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze here, guys.
You know, Mark, I'm curious. I don't want to make too much out of anything, but now that they have not traded either the 1st or the 9th pick in the first round, they're not likely they could trade the 3rd or 4th pick, but they're not going to get much for it. And it suggests to me that Ryan Poles is telling us he thinks that if they're not completely ready right now, they're awfully close, because, you know, they could have gotten 2 or 3 more top prospects by trading one of those picks, and yet he decided to go for the very best, and it sounds like he feels like this is the year that they're going to be competing for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. I think that he's put that on himself. I mean, he practically telegraphed it or said it in the pre-draft press conference where he said that this team is going to, the Bears are going to be a hard team to make. And that is the complete converse of what he was saying when he first came in. It was like, hey man, if you're an undrafted rookie free agent, you might make this Bears team. There were a lot of opportunities. Like, so we've gone from one end of the spectrum 2 years ago with Ryan Poles in 2022 to the other side where you go from rebuild, like big time rebuild, to, yeah, you bet. I mean, I look at this draft hub and I say that it is quality over quantity. And you do have to take into account what the Bears have done with some of those picks. Their number two pick went from, you know, ended up netting you Montez Sweat. They traded a fifth rounder that they would have had this year for Ryan Bates, who they look at as a potential center or just depth on the interior. They traded last year with their sixth rounder for Dan Feeney. I don't know if they got the most out of that, but they did trade their sixth rounder for that. And then another guy they did not get the most from, too, is their seventh rounder, who they traded for N'Keal Harry. And obviously that was a project that they attempted, and it didn't work out. So Ryan Poles, I think part of what his philosophy was, guys, in this draft is, you know, one thing we were told over and over was that this is not a deep draft through, like, after, you know, 5 through 7. It's not great. And it's always a crapshoot when you go 5 through 7. And we've seen that with the Bears and many teams through the years, that seventh round, you're not always going to get it. It's 50-50, it feels like. You could just say, like, these guys are either going to, you know, be on the bench for the roster, or they're probably going to be someplace else. So I don't have a problem with the way he played it, and I don't know if he projected everything in that regard, but I think that on paper, at least what we see now, and we haven't seen any of these guys play together yet, that it's been a pretty shrewd year, I think, for Ryan Poles with what he has done in this offseason to kind of make good on the fact that there's just those four picks. And the two right now, third round pick, number 75 overall, that'll be tomorrow, and then the next day they'll have their fourth round pick, 122 overall, and that came from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mark, I do think we have to be careful with something I just said, though, because I just picked the Bears to go to the playoffs this year, and that's with a rookie quarterback who's never thrown an NFL pass. And so as much as he is clearly the number one prospect, and I think most people would say was the right pick, that's the unknown, because even the greatest quarterbacks struggle a little bit when they have to first figure out how to play in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, Hub, and we've seen it. You know, my first year covering the Bears was Mitch Trubisky's second year in 2018. So, you know, I've essentially, and you too, Hub, I've been every minute of the development of Mitchell Trubisky, every minute of the development and the attempt with Justin Fields. So we know that guys that are highly touted and look like really good prospects, it is possible that they are going to struggle. So you cannot leave that out with Caleb Williams. I will say that the prospect that Caleb Williams is a better prospect than either Mitch Trubisky or Justin Fields. And both of those guys, especially Fields, were very good prospects. So I do think that he is better than both of them. There does seem to be something different about Caleb Williams. The skill set is immaculate. But you're right, Hub. I mean, now you have to see if it all translates to the NFL. It may not all translate to the NFL. There will be things that Caleb Williams will not get away with at the NFL level that he got away with in the college level. But the good news, I think, for Caleb Williams and the Bears and people who worry about the development and worry about a rookie quarterback, man, have they put him in a good position again on paper, where you have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. You have a progressing Cole Kmet as well. You have DeAndre Swift, who's another guy who can catch a football or two. I'm not saying that DeAndre Swift is any superstar, but he is a boost from the other running backs that you have on this roster. And I actually do think, except for center, which I don't know exactly what they're going to do with it, if that is going to be Coleman Shelton or Ryan Bates, believe it or not, other than that, center, and that's pretty damn important. important. That offensive line, I think, is going to be pretty sturdy next year with another year with Darnell Wright. We'll see what he does for his encore after a pretty good rookie season. We know the development that Tevin Jenkins has made for the Bears. Braxton Jones, he has been decent but not great, but again, another year of development for him. So who knows what they're going to do on that O-line if they look in that area for 3 and 4 potentially. But believe it or not, it does feel like Caleb Williams comes into a situation that has been, I think we could all say here, facts are facts, he comes in here with a much better situation than either Mitch Trubisky or Justin Fields did.
Mark Grody joining us live from Hallis Hall, Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish on night one of our draft coverage here on The Score. Going back to the idea of trading down out of that 9 spot, when I put together my big board, Grody, I know you care about my big board, but when I put together my big board, I had the 3 wide receivers at the top, Harrison, Neighbors, and Odunze, for what they could get there at the 9 pick. And in my head, I was saying, if none of those 3 guys falls to the Bears at 9, I'm okay with trading down and getting one of these offensive linemen or maybe somebody for the defensive line. Do you think maybe that's where the Bears' heads were at, but Rome Odunze was just too good to pass up when he slipped to them at number 9?
Yeah, I wonder where the Bears... I mean, this is something I always wonder, Rami, like what you actually were thinking, we're never going to find out until maybe after Ryan Poles is retired. You know, that's just the way that kind of stuff works. Like, what were you actually thinking at that spot? Yeah, I mean, honestly, like I did on my big board, Rami, if I'm allowed to talk about board as well. Thank you. I appreciate that. At number 9, I did have Rome Odunze, but... That's just because it was a gut feeling. The fact is I think that if Joe Alt had been available, I think at number 9, which none of us really thought was going to be the case, I would have probably very seriously considered going with the offensive lineman in that case. I mean, I know J.C. Latham ends up going to Tennessee. But I think that there probably were some things on the table that they'd considered other than Rome Odunze, but I know how highly they did think of Rome Odunze. Obviously, he made a visit here. He had a meeting with him at the combine, which is not unoriginal. Usually teams will all talk to the top prospects, but there were enough dots to connect to Rome Odunze. Even the relationship that Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze have, that was another giveaway. So this is about as transparent as we've seen a draft with the Bears in the first round in a long time. Last year, I think a lot of people were on the Darnell Wright bandwagon when they moved down a spot to pick him up, but I think that there was still a little bit of mystery with that as well. But I do think that some things were on the table, and I wonder if Ryan Poles will share a little bit of that when we talk to him here in just a little bit.
Well, and Mark, I think the other thing that we have to consider is that, you know, with Caleb Williams, you know, the Keenan Allen trade made perfect sense. I mean, the guy's a 6-time Pro Bowler, but he is, I think he just turned 32. He's 31 or 32 years old. Yep. This is the last year of his contract. He is going to be very hard to re-sign because he's going to want one just like the last contract. He's been to 6 Pro Bowls. I mean, the guy may be a Hall of Famer, but he's going to be really hard to re-sign after this year. And that's why I think Odunze was so important to get, because if he is the player that most people think he is, because he's a great prospect, with him and DJ Moore together, you're set for the next 3-4 years, really, you know, while you're developing Caleb Williams. And that's why I think it had to be Odunze, although when Leitu was still on the board, I think he's the best pass rusher in this draft. And I would have, you know, but without knowing the medical, you know, without knowing where his neck is at, I just don't think the Bears could afford to take that chance. And that's why I think Odunze was definitely the right pick at number 9.
Yeah, I do too, and I'm with you, Hub. Like, I wouldn't have been mad if they had taken one of the defensive ends, and yeah, I think Latu is going to be fine. You know, that neck injury he had was, you know, a couple of years ago. It was 2 years, and it's serious. And I bet it's not out of the question that he scared some people away with it. But he's had 2 healthy years, a kid out of UCLA, and a lot of people liked him a lot, not just you, Hub. But yeah, I mean, that's some pretty good insight by you as far as Keenan Allen is concerned and his desire to be here long term. It's interesting because I look at it 2 ways with Keenan Allen. He is about as, like, just from meeting him one time when he came out to Hallis Hall, he is about as veteran as they get. get in terms of, like, he just moves like a veteran. He the poise that he had, the fact that he basically straight up said to him, to us, that, yeah, the Chargers wanted me to take a pay cut. I was like, no way. You know, he was like, that ain't happening. So we know that Keenan Allen feels like he still deserves big time money, big time contracts at this point. So I'm sure he's gonna be very happy with the Bears. There's no way he wanted to leave the Chargers and Los Angeles to come to the Bears, but I think that he may sort of accidentally to find that this is a good spot for him. Like, if, like you mentioned, Hub, that he's 32 years old. If he has a great year, like if the Bears win this year, if they're a playoff team and he and DJ Moore really hit it off and the chemistry exists, I do wonder if that kind of thing could win him over in terms of straight up wanting to be here. But obviously the fact that he is here probably tells us the opposite, that Keenan Allen is going to use this opportunity to either tempt the Bears to sign him long term, and I know that that's something that they were interested in discussing, or Keenan Allen will be off to another team. So I think that it's all in play. But I got to tell you, man, it just feels like if you are an offensive player on this Bears team, that this sounds crazy to say, the Bears are a pretty comfortable place to be right now.
Yeah, and the thing to realize about Allen, it's a little weird, is that he may be 32 and he may have been to 6 Pro Bowls, but he is coming off the best season of his career at 31.
Yes.
It is possible that he has another good year. Maybe he does a 2-year deal that's going to take him up to 34. And then if you've got DJ and Odunze and Allen for the next 3 years, boy, you're in good shape.
Yeah, and I mean, heck, like I said, who knows what Cole Kmet? Cole Kmet is not a star in this league yet, but he's top 10, I think, tight ends at this point. Maybe a little bit outside of that, but you know, you look at him, and he's the classic case, Cole Kmet, of a guy who gets a little bit better every year. I don't know if he's ever going to make like that jump, but he's a guy to consider in terms of the weapons that the Bears offense has. The other tight end that they got, Gerald Everett, I don't think they're going to get massive production from him. Another thing that this does to the wide receiver room, it kind of makes it, like, who knows, it, like, at this point, Avelis Jones Jr. is going to be around. I mean, it's not looking good for him. But somebody like Tyler Scott, like, the Bears had decently high hopes for Tyler Scott last year, and obviously it turned out to be a rough year for the fourth rounder. But there's no way at this point that they have given up on him, and all of a sudden it falls into place where you're not going to ask Tyler Scott. Can be feel comfortable in terms of they're not necessarily depending on him, and maybe being around all of these vets will start to boost his game, because quite honestly, like, out of that group, he's still probably the fastest guy, Tyler Scott. So I do always like it when these big blue chippers come in and they put everything back in perspective, and all of a sudden you can live with Tyler Scott, you know, having the dropsies last year, and whomever else that they think that is going to make this wide receiver squad this year.
You know, there's so much to consider, because you look at Everett, and he's not a great tight end, but he would be a starter with about half the teams in the league. And he's your number two, and Cole Kmet is better than just a starter. DeAndre Swift is one of the best receiving running backs in the NFL. So you look at what you've got at tight end, what you've got at running back, what you've got with the three, you know, potential Pro Bowl receivers. I mean, you've given Williams everything you can if that offensive line improves a bit this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I think that we can look at this. This is different. I mean, we can be as jaded as can be, having had a front row seat for a lot of the things that the quarterbacks going wrong, from Rex Grossman to Jay Cutler not living up to what he was supposed to be. And I mentioned Mitchell Trubisky and Justin Fields, but here we are now, and maybe one of the things that, you know, even organizationally, and I know Ryan Poles wasn't here, is that, look, he can look back and see how the Bears dealt with their past quarterbacks, and they just didn't do enough around those guys. And I don't know if that would have done it. Like Hub, I was always with you on Justin Fields. I, you know, from training camp, I think was the first time that I started to kind of go sour on him in terms of a player, because I'd been pro Justin Fields. But then when I saw him misconnecting so much during camp, and I know you and I were sitting there in the bleachers watching that oftentimes together. And then, you know, this year, the way it played out, he got he got the full chance. But, you know, the folks that make the argument that there wasn't a lot around him, I mean, I can't fight back at that, really. I mean, you had DJ Moore, and that worked out, but you didn't have a lot around him. In the case of Caleb Williams, expectations are high because of the nest that they have built.
You know, what you really can't argue about Justin, guys, is that he doesn't see the field well enough. He doesn't read defenses well enough. His accuracy is at best 50-50. And he doesn't make decisions fast enough. Now, it's not because he's not smart enough. He's a really smart young man, and he's a great athlete, and he can be very good in the NFL. I just don't think quarterback is his position, to be honest with you.
I think he'll remain a quarterback.
Oh, he will. Not, yeah, he will.
Yeah. I'm not ready to go there with him. And yeah, I know that just because of the way the NFL works and injuries, and I think we're going to see Justin Fields as a starter again someday, or get an opportunity to maybe start a flurry of games. I think, in other words, somehow, some way, Justin Fields is going to get a second chance. And while he may improve from what he was with the Bears, I just don't see it in terms of Justin Fields ever being the guy that is the dude that you win because of. And look, we've seen it. We saw it with Geno Smith and Shane Waldron, the Bears offensive coordinator, helped to make him whole again. You know, Justin Fields still has all of the attributes to be a good quarterback in this league. It's just there are some intangibles on the field and some very basic rudimentary things with Justin Fields that he just does not have advanced work at yet.
Grody, it feels weird to say, but sort of all the resources that they've had so far this offseason, free agency, and now night one of the draft, have gone to the offensive side of the field, and I think to maybe sort of correct or not repeat the mistakes that they made with Justin Fields and quarterbacks previous, but... That being said, does the pendulum swing back the other way now? Do you think they have to address defensive tackle and that edge position with these last two picks that they have?
I think you do. I don't know, Rami, if there is going to be a guy who you can look at in the third or fourth rounds as an impact guy
right. Necessarily.
But look, I mean, they have to have been scouting these guys. You don't have, like, you know, the most successful pass rushers in the league have not all been guys that were drafted at the top of the first round or even in the second round. So, I do think in the third round you have to look at another guy to get to the quarterback because, look, as good as Montez Sweat was and probably will continue to be, he needs some help at that position. I think one of the guys that I'm looking at for this next season to jump his numbers, because I think he was a relative disappointment, is DeMarcus Walker. DeMarcus Walker, I think, had just 3 sacks this year. He had coming into this past season with Tennessee, he was on the upswing. He had his personal career high at 8 sacks, and I think the Bears were kind of projecting him to build on that, and he didn't. So let's see if he does this year. But, you know, to your point, yeah, I think that I definitely would like to see the Bears draft. I mean, and I don't know if that's going to come from defensive end or interior. Ryan Poles did say during his pre-draft presser that, you know, the fastest way to the quarterback is from the interior. So I don't know. Obviously, that's what they wanted Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens to be like. But yeah, I'm thinking, you know, interior or outside, quite frankly, for the defense for either the third or fourth picks.
That's Mark Grody, our Bears insider. Also check out the Daily Score and all his coverage continuing from Hallis Hall at 670score.com. I'm sure throughout tomorrow, right here on the airwaves and the Odyssey app. Grody, great stuff, man. Keep up the good work out there.
Yeah, you guys too. I'll be listening on my way home later on. If I ever get out of here, I don't know. What time are you guys on till tonight? Are you guys on till midnight tonight?
I will be here till 1 a.m. I believe Hub is ducking out a little bit earlier than that.
I would stay, but I got to get to the airport to pick up the bus.
There you go. You see?
So
He's got good reason to get on out of here. But, Grody, if you want to jump back on later, I welcome you, my friend.
Yeah, I'll see if I got the energy, man. I might, you know, at that point, Rami, honestly, I may just want to be entertained. So we'll see.
I hope I can deliver. There's Mark Grody from Hallis Hall, and he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. 312-644-6767. We do want to hear from you. You can give us a call or drop us a text using that number. We'll also hear from Ryan Poles a little bit later on in the evening. And right after this, we'll hear from the Bears number.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Number 9 pick, Rome Odunze. That's next. I'm Rami Makhlouf. That's Hub Arkish. This is night one of the Scores draft coverage.
I think I like Rome best.
Really? Even more than Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, yeah. And, wow. it could be subtle changes. I just like his ability to play the ball in the air. He's just elite. Reminds me of Garrett Wilson, but a bigger Garrett Wilson. I think he's faster than Garrett. We saw what Garrett Wilson has done in this NFL, with the Jets. But I think he's a bigger, faster Garrett Wilson. He has just as much body control. Amazing body control with the ball in the air to contort his body. And he's just so smooth, and his hands are second to none. And that's not to say Marvin can't do all those things. Marvin's a little bit bigger, but I think Rome Odunze, from a route-running standpoint, is a little bit better. He's my favorite receiver in this draft, and I don't think he's going to disappoint. I mean, he's probably as close to Jamar Chase as we've seen coming out. He's a little bigger than Jamar, but I think he's every bit strong and fast and elusive as Jamar is.
High praise from Brian Baldinger, talking to our very own Mark Grody, who we just heard from live from Hallis Hall, night one of draft coverage here on 670 The Score. I'm Rami Makhlouf alongside the one and only Hub Arkish. Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We'll hear from Rome Odunze, who the Bears took at number 9 after selecting Caleb Williams with number 1 in just a moment, but want to head out to LaGrange and get in Luigi, who dialed 312-644-6767 and has been waiting patiently. What's up, Luigi?
How you doing, guys? Just a quick 20 seconds. Scott, I haven't called the score since Jiggins and North were on the air, but I'm a big Bears fan, and I football players are susceptible to injuries, correct?
Yes.
But I don't understand. Why don't you just keep Fields as your backup? You never know if this guy Williams gets hurt. Like Aaron did on the first play of the game of his career. You never know what can happen. You got to keep a guy like Fields around. He's a weapon, like as I said. And third quarterback, just keep Tyson,
Well, I will tell you, as I said a little while ago, I don't think Justin Fields is going to have a great career as an NFL starting quarterback. And so when you say keep him around, I guess you're talking about as a number two. If he's not going to be any better than he was when you were trying to make him a number one, it doesn't make much sense. And, especially if you're trying to develop Caleb Williams, I think that, it would have created a lot more potential for uncertainty in the locker room with all the players as to who was in charge. We know how popular Fields was with his teammates. So it made sense to move on. It's not that hard to find a decent number two. It's really hard to find a decent number one, but it's not that hard to find a decent number two. And I'm not sure that they don't think Tyson Bagent can't be their number two. I mean, he was 2-2 in the four games he started.
Sure.
And that was for, at the time, a 4-8 team. And so, not 4-8, but whatever they were. So it was time to move on. It just made sense for the overall development of the whole roster, not just for Justin Fields' points.
Yeah, I think if you were going to move on from him as your QB1, then I as you said, Hub, I think it creates too much uncertainty in a locker room full of guys who love Justin Fields, who think he should be QB1. I don't know if it would, but you're creating a situation that has the potential for friction.
Right. A lot of people in that locker room, a lot of teammates in that locker room believed in Fields.
Yes.
And if he was still here competing, but not really even being able to compete with Williams, it could have led to all kinds of potential problems. So probably not. It seems like a good bunch. It probably would have been okay. I would have taken that chance just to see what more I could get out of Fields' athletic ability, but it doesn't bother me that they moved on. It bothers me that they only got a 6-round pick for him, but that's obviously all that was offered, or the best that was offered, so I can't fault him for that.
Driving in tonight, I was like, I am going to actively try not to talk about Justin Fields because this is a new era, and I was a Justin Fields guy, but this is a new era, and this is the first official day in a new era. I wonder how long it'll be, Hub, before maybe it's when Caleb Williams takes a snap and wows us all with an amazing pass, but I wonder how long we're going to have to keep on going back and talking about Justin Fields here in Chicago.
I hope that 2 or 3 years from now, he is starting on the other side of the Pro Bowl field from Caleb Williams.
That'd be amazing.
You know, he's such a good young man in so many ways. I would love to see it work out, but there's something that really can't be taught. The ability to read the field, the ability to make decisions fast enough, the ability to make the right decisions, and those were the areas where he struggles the most.
Let's hear from Rome Odunze, again taken by the Bears at number 9 in tonight's draft. The wide receiver out of Washington addressed the Chicago media just a little bit ago.
Rome, congratulations on getting drafted, brother. So my question is to you. You're coming to a situation with two very good wide receivers in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. What are you hoping to bring to that group, and what are you hoping to learn from them?
I'm hoping to learn a lot. You know, they've been in the league a good bit and, you know, been veterans in the league, been doing well for themselves for a long time. So, you know, soak up all the information that, you know, I can and learn from them and, you know, hopefully go out there and make some plays too. You know, I just came from a wide receiver trio that was able to have a lot of success at my college. So I think we can just do the same exact thing, but at the next level.
Herb.
What up, Ron? Welcome to Chicago, man. Y'all had a workout, you and Caleb, with DJ and Keenan recently. How was that workout? What did you learn not only about Caleb but also about DJ and Keenan?
I learned a lot. It was a great workout. You know, just this three, you know, four of us getting better, you know, working on our crafts, and that's exactly what it was. You know, I see that Keenan smooth. I see how explosive DJ is, and I see that Caleb could sling that the ball wherever he chooses. So, you know, I'm super excited to work with that group now officially, and I think we could do special things.
Jason?
Rome, Jason Leisure with the Chicago Sun-Times. How much thought have you given over the past month or so or leading up to the draft about playing with Caleb? And what do you think could be special about that combination?
You know, I definitely took my time to think about it, knowing that it was a real possibility, you know, picking me up in the draft, and also knowing that, you know, the visit with them went very well. So, you know, it was definitely a possibility that was running through my mind, and I'm super excited to have that as an opportunity. You know, I got to watch him when I was playing him in college, and he is super talented, you know, and a generational player. So to be able to catch balls from him and compete right beside him is a special thing.
Don?
Hey, what's up, Rome? John Greenberg from The Athletic. Kind of based on that, how well do you know Caleb? Like, how long have you guys known each other? And, you know, what did you like about him as a college player?
You know, I haven't known him for too long. I got to meet him at the combine. Like I said, I played across from him, so I got to see his play and, you know, his determination and drive on the field. But as a person, you know, I got to meet him at the combine, got to chop it up a little bit with him out here, you know, during the draft. But, you know, I'm super confident that we, you know, can build a relationship and on and off the field. And I think that, you know, it would be a dynamic duo going forward.
Alex?
Hey, Rome, congratulations. I'm curious, what does it mean to you to be able to develop alongside a rookie quarterback, you know, hopefully throughout the duration of your career, compared to coming into the league with a more established quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's awesome to come in with a rookie quarterback because, you know, we can grow and develop alongside each other. And, you know, we don't have any worries about, you know, someone retiring or someone else coming in. You know, we can develop one alongside one another and grow as players and learn the league and how we need to have success within it. And I think that's super special.
Larry? Wait, Larry, you're muted. Sorry.
Hear me okay now?
Yep.
Okay, great. Congratulations, Rome. Very excited to have you coming to Chicago. I was going to ask you about Caleb, but everybody else has already. So I'm just going to ask you, what type of receiver would you say the Bears are getting for people that aren't familiar with your game? How confident are you that you'll be able to make an impact as a rookie here?
I think they're getting a versatile receiver. I think I do a lot of things well on the field, honestly. If I'm playing outside, playing inside, catching contested balls, creating separation, I feel like I do all these things at a high level. So, and I'm looking to come and make that immediate impact, you know, find my role within the team with great receivers like Keenan Allen and DJ Moore already there. I'm just finding my role within that and create avenues for the offense to have success.
Pauline.
Hey, Rome, I heard you were a Devin Hester fan growing up. Is that right?
That's right. That was my favorite player growing up. Yes.
How did you become a fan of his, and what did you kind of love about him?
he had this tape on YouTube that I played back to back. I don't know how I stumbled upon it, but he had this tape to a Lil Wayne track, and I probably watched it over 1,000 times of him returning kicks in the Super Bowl, and that just really inspired me. And I wore 23, you know, throughout my entire time as a Little League player, so a big fan of his.
Andy?
Yeah, hi, Rome. What specifically can you learn from being in the same room as Keenan and DJ?
I think a lot. You know, I think, you know, the possibilities are endless. I mean, when you look at Keenan's game, how complete it is, when you look at DJ Moore and how he's able to, you know, compete in the league at a high level for a long time now, you know, the possibilities are endless on what I'm able to learn. And that's why I say I'm going to go up in there and soak all the information up that I can and learn from as much as I can from them, because, you know, they're already two very established, very elite receivers in the league.
Thank you.
Hey, what's going on, Ron? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm all good. Thanks for asking. I just got a quick question for you, man. Describe success in your words, and how will you contribute to a new regime in Chicago with your definition of success?
You know, I think success for me is setting goals, setting, you know, accomplishments that you want to make and striving towards those things and continuing to see progress towards those things, you know, from long-term goals to short-term goals, you know, seeing the progress and going towards those things. And for me, you know, that's exactly what it'll be, Chicago. You know, Chicago's been continued to develop, continue to get better as a team. And, you know, the goal for them, I know already, is a Super Bowl. So we're going to make strides towards that, you know, to have that success. And we'll build brick by brick to go accomplish that.
Jake?
Hey, Rome, quick question from Seattle. How special was it to hear your name called right after Michael Penix's and to have two UW guys go in the top 10?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, I didn't know that was coming. That kind of came out of left field. So I'm super excited. He's well deserved, you know, to be picked there. And when I seen him, you know, happen, and I was like, I was trying to figure out if it was going down. And then I seen a report of it on Instagram. And then I seen him, you know, get called over the intercom. And I was like, man, that's my dog. So super happy for him. He deserves that and more. And I know he's going to go to Atlanta and kill it.
Last two, Jason.
Rome, when you had that workout with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, I mean, it's one thing to work out with NFL guys, but those guys are pros that have been around a long time at a high level. Was it eye-opening for you at all to be on the field with them and see kind of what it looks like that you're aiming for?
You know, I've watched a lot of NFL tape and a lot of NFL wide receivers, and I feel like, you know, I've developed my skills to be, you know, on the same level as those guys. But definitely, I think they have a skill set that has been sharpened for many years now, and the tools to have success in the NFL for a long time now. So I wouldn't say it was eye opening, but definitely was looking at the different things that they were doing that were very subtle, you know, very, very precise and very detailed that, you know, I'll need to do to have success at this next level.
Alex.
Aaron, you're joining another Husky, Kyler Gordon, here in Chicago. Have the two of you been in contact at all leading up to the draft, or maybe in the moments after you getting drafted?
Yeah, he's wished me luck many a times. And when I visited Chicago on my visit, you know, he said, you know, I hope you enjoy the city. Hope you're enjoying your time. And I told him, yeah, it was great. It was a great visit. And I've always commented on his posts. You know, you got him looking like Spider-Man out there with all his flips and stuff. So I always comment on those things because he was doing the exact same thing in college. So happy to be joining him. And I know he's a great person as well. So super excited.
Thanks,
last one, Courtney.
Hey, Ron, real quick on the workout, how did that come to be, the one that you did with Caleb and DJ and Keenan? Who arranged that?
I'm not sure who arranged it. I heard about it from one of my trainers named TJ Husmanzada. He said that Caleb was throwing at USC, and I think he connected us and the people that were making it happen. And I was able to get up to LA and have the workout.
There's Rome Odunze, wide receiver, drafted number 9 out of Washington by the Chicago Bears tonight. And Hub, similar to what I said about Caleb Williams, I don't know if he has that sort of magnetic charisma that a Caleb Williams does, but he wins the press conference. You know what I mean? Like he has that same likable quality, which I think is, you know, I'm a big Cubs fan, Hub. I know you are too. That team that won the World Series in 2016, I think there was an element of personality and chemistry in that locker room that helped them win games. I think that's what every GM or president of whatever operations, whatever title you put on it, I think that's something that they do look for and aspire for in terms of the chemistry of a team when they're putting it together.
Yeah, you know, I think you're absolutely right, and it is a big deal. And this is kind of a strange comparison, but before I headed downtown today for the show, I had to stop and see how the Cubs got three runs in the sixth inning. And when I saw Pete Crow Armstrong hit his first home run, and Dansby Swanson went nuts, Morel went, they all went nuts.
Yep.
And it's that kind of relationship between these players. When you get that working in a locker room, it makes a big difference, you know. And you can just tell, as we've been meeting these players, both the free agents and now the rookies, that they all seem to be very well spoken. They seem to be very sharp, and they seem to be focused more than anything else on winning. And that if they're all thinking the same thing, that could lead to a great locker room.
I don't know if you saw it come across your timeline. Him and Caleb Williams dapped up backstage after Rome Odunze was picked, and they already had like a little choreographed like TikTok sort of thing that they did together, where like one threw up the ball. It was a whole thing. They seem to really like each other already, good friends. And you heard him talking about the workout where he caught passes from Caleb Williams and DJ Moore and Keenan. Is that, I don't remember ever hearing that of a potential QB prospect, a potential wide receiver prospect, and two veteran wide receivers all getting together for some kind of workout or throwing session. I don't remember ever hearing something like that, Hub.
Well, I think a lot of it just depends on where proximity. How many of them are you know, during the off season. And in this particular case, it was during their 30 days. You know, it was during the combine. It was during the special workout that they took with Williams. And that is, again, it's being handled so differently. Ryan Poles obviously learned some things in Kansas City that nobody in Chicago had learned for a number of years as they started putting these rosters together. And it seems to be working for him. And I'm just really impressed with the way Poles has handled all of this. It's not just about identifying good talent. It's about the way he's gotten them together. It's about the way he's put them together. He clearly already knew who he was hoping to get, and that's why they ended up getting together and working out together. And it all is very positive right now.
That's Hub Arkish. I'm Rami Makhlouf. It's night one of our draft coverage here on 670 The Score. We're still going to hear from Bears GM Ryan Poles before we get out of here, but want to open up the phone lines to you. 312-644-6767. I got a text from the 408. Love the pick, guys, but Hub, did the Bears goof up at center? We'll talk about that coming up in just a second. But from the 941, doing a great job keeping up with the picks, guys. That's my bad. I will get you updated on all the picks, including two in the NFC North, right after this on night one of the Score's draft coverage, right here on 670 The Score.
Our live draft coverage continues on 670 The Score, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Hub Arkish on night one of our draft coverage. The Bears, of course, taking Caleb Williams at number one. Rome Odunze, wide receiver out of Washington, falls to them at number nine. We are live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Alex Kuhn on the other side of the glass, doing a great job on the ones and twos this evening. And taking your calls at 312-644-6767. You can also text that number as well. We'll hear from Ryan Poles coming up a little later on in the show, but want to get in some of your calls. Again, 312-644-6767. Dave and Slinger dialed that. Now he's on the Score. What's up, Dave?
Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I do you think we're going to see a different Chicago Bears team with the quarterback and wide receiver? And could this be the year that this is the year of the Chicago Bears and hopefully going to the Super Bowl and winning it? Could this be the year?
Well, we're definitely going to see a different team this year. There's no question about that. They've really reloaded the roster. Is this a Super Bowl season? I think that's asking too much. You know, to go from 3-14 to 7-10 to the Super Bowl, that's a huge leap. I think that they could win a playoff game. I think that they have a good chance of being in the playoffs, but I think they're at least another year away from being a legit Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think many people will have them in the Super Bowl conversation this year, Hub, but it goes back to a conversation we had earlier in the show about the expectations that the hopes and dreams that are heaped onto a number one pick, especially when it's a quarterback. And I know you said that's something that every number one pick deals with. And you're absolutely right. But when you're looking at this Bears team, their history of quarterbacks, a 7-win team, a team that has DJ Moore, added Keenan Allen, added Rome Odunze, has Cole Kmet, I think the situation that Caleb Williams is walking into, people see it and they go, that is such a good situation. And I think that the expectations and the hopes and dreams, while maybe not reaching Super Bowl levels with everybody, I think they might be even more than what you'll usually get with the number one pick.
Yeah, and I think the other thing you have to realize is the Lions, at least at the moment, are the best team in the division. They won the division last year. And the Vikings were in the playoffs 2 years ago. The Packers were in the playoffs last year. So the division has gotten much better. And what used to be an easy division to get a playoff spot in is not so easy anymore.
Yeah.
And then I think they're going to be good enough to get one. I think that there could be three teams from their division in the playoffs this year. But and maybe they win a playoff game. But I think that they still have more work to do. And especially, we don't know what the rookie quarterback's going to do.
Right.
I think in another year or two, he'll be ready. But to expect that much out of him as a rookie is asking too much.
As I mentioned, there was a text from the 941, not pleased with the job I'm doing, keeping everybody updated on the picks tonight. So I should catch folks up on that. Last we checked, and if you want me to go back further than this, Google is a thing. You know, you could do that as well. But last we checked, Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver out of LSU, went to Jacksonville. After that, couple picks in the NFC North. The Lions go cornerback with Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. The Packers go offensive line with Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle from Arizona. Graham Barton, center from Duke, goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cardinals select Darius Robinson, edge rusher from Missouri. Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver from Texas, goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. More toys for Patrick Mahomes to play with. Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle from Oklahoma, goes 29 to the Cowboys. Nate Wiggins, the cornerback out of Clemson, a guy I really liked, he goes 30 to the Baltimore Ravens. And Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver from Florida, goes to the 49ers. And this one just came in. Xavier Leggett, another wide receiver that people were high on, out of South Carolina, he goes 32 to the Carolina Panthers.
I was just going to say, oh, the Carolina Panthers.
Yes.
I'm thinking Chiefs.
Oh, there was a trade. Oh,
okay.
There was a trade. The Chiefs and Panthers made a trade.
I still would have been right, though, because I thought the Chiefs would take a wide receiver, and that is the seventh wide receiver in the first round.
Wow.
And I think there's going to be six or seven more in the second round. I mean, that position, the tackles and the quarterbacks, those three positions, six quarterbacks in the first round, seven wide receivers in the first round. I'd have to go back and count the tackles, but I think there's at least five. There may be six tackles in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story of this draft. By the time we get to the third, fourth round of this draft, you're going to be talking about all, you know, late day three prospects. So I'm not saying you can't get anything later, but if ever there was a draft to not have any picks after the fourth pick, after your fourth round pick, this would be the year. So the Bears aren't in as big a trouble there as they would be in another year without those picks.
And to Hub's point, you look at this first round so far, and save for a few picks like the Michael Penix pick and Jordan Morgan from Arizona goes to the Packers, pretty chalky. A lot of the guys that we thought were going to be the top guys were in fact selected in the first round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many. I saw a few drafts that had Rome Odunze slipping to the Bears at 9, but a lot of the mock drafts had him going before then. But yeah, you're right. A lot of it did absolutely go chalk. The two picks in division, Hub, with the Lions taking Terrion Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama. The Packers just love offensive linemen. And I've worked in Milwaukee a long time, Hub. If they like an offensive lineman, I like that guy too. They just seem to know what they're doing in terms of drafting and developing guys at that position. But Terrion Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama, going to Detroit. It was certainly a position of need, cornerback, for that Lions team. Mm-hmm. But it's that much more of a need when you're looking at what the Bears did at wide receiver, Justin Jefferson in Minnesota. We saw Jordan Love and his wide receiver core sort of emerge and develop and improve as last season went along. You have some high-flying offenses in this NFC North that teams like the Lions are going to have to account for in the way that they construct their roster.
You know, Rami, that's something we haven't really talked about at all. But what do you think right now the Lions and the Vikings and the Packers are thinking about having to deal with the Bears passing game? without even knowing about Williams yet, but knowing what they've got in the receiver positions and the running backs. I mean, they've got to have the whole division thinking now with what they've done in the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it really changes a lot.
It brings me back to, and this obviously didn't end in a Super Bowl, but the last time they had a core like this of Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and Martellus Bennett and Matt Forte coming out of the backfield, the Bears had weapons that the rest of their division had to account for and plan for.
I was just thinking during the last break, when was the last time anybody asked themselves, how am I going to deal with the Bears offense? I mean, I don't think I've ever heard that question asked.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I mean, this is looking like a big deal. It really is.
And last year, during Justin Fields' struggles, and as I was having that debate with people back and forth, I would always say, forget position. They don't have playmakers. They don't have difference makers. They don't have guys on that side of the ball that opposing defenses have to game plan for and try and stop. They point him and they go, that's a guy we have to stop. They did something about that this offseason and added, well, the quarterback and two of those types of guys to his wide receiver core.
You know, one other thing before we go to a break, but because we haven't talked about this at all, but I think we need to, is Matt Eberflus, I think, was treated very unfairly last year by the media and by fans.
I might have been part of that.
We're all part of that, you know? I mean, you get off to an 0-4 start, that's what's going to happen, okay? But the reality is, the two problems with the two coaches that had to be replaced, that's not on him. I mean, you know, what was going on there, those were personal issues that had nothing to do with football, and really, it wasn't his job to be checking on those things. You know, you want to do better, obviously, but that doesn't make him a bad coach, okay? And then when you look at what he did the second half of the season, when you look at what he did with that defense, I thought Flus had a really good year, too, and people may start to realize that the Bears may have a pretty good head coach. I don't know yet. I still need one more year out of him because the first year wasn't pretty. But I don't think he's got enough credit for what he did, especially the second half of last season. And now you look at the moves that they've made and what a better position they're going to be in to start the season. I think it's going to be a very interesting year for Matt Eberflus.
I wouldn't mind having that conversation a little bit more on the other side of, because I'm not a big fan of Matt Eberflus. And maybe you can change my mind, but we can have that discussion, talk more about tonight's draft. The phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. You can drop us a text there as well. We'll hear from Ryan Poles. That's Hub Arkish. I'm Rami Makhlouf. It's night one of draft coverage right here on 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coverage right here on 670 The Score.
Our live draft coverage continues on 670 The Score, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Hub Arkish on night one of our draft coverage. The Bears, of course, taking Caleb Williams at number one. Roma Dunze, wide receiver out of Washington, falls to them at number nine. We are live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Alex Kuhn on the other side of the glass, doing a great job on the ones and twos this evening. And taking your calls at 312-644-6767. You can also text that number as well. We'll hear from Ryan Poles coming up a little later on in the show, but want to get in some of your calls. Again, 312-644-6767. Dave and Slinger dialed that. Now he's on the Score. What's up, Dave?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure,
I do you think we're going to see a different Chicago Bears team with the quarterback and wide receiver? And could this be the year that this is the year of the Chicago Bears and hopefully going to the Super Bowl and winning it? Could this be the year?
Well, we're definitely going to see a different team this year. There's no question about that. They've really reloaded the roster. Is this a Super Bowl season? I think that's asking too much. You know, to go from 3-14 to 7-10 to the Super Bowl, that's a huge leap. I think that they could win a playoff game. I think that they have a good chance of being in the playoffs, but I think they're at least another year away from being a legit Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think many people will have them in the Super Bowl conversation this year, Hub, but it goes back to a conversation we had earlier in the show about the expectations that the hopes and dreams that are heaped onto a number one pick, especially when it's a quarterback. And I know you said that's something that every number one pick deals with, and you're absolutely right. But when you're looking at this Bears team, their history of quarterbacks, a 7-win team, a team that has DJ Moore, added Keenan Allen, added Rome Odunze, has Cole Kmet, I think the situation that Caleb Williams is walking into, people see it and they go, that is such a good situation. And I think that the expectations and the hopes and dreams, while maybe not reaching Super Bowl levels with everybody, I think they might be even more than what you'll usually get with the number one pick.
Yeah, and I think the other thing you have to realize is the Lions, at least at the moment, are the best team in the division. They won the division last year. And the Vikings were in the playoffs 2 years ago. The Packers were in the playoffs last year. So the division has gotten much better. And what used to be an easy division to get a playoff spot in is not so easy anymore.
Yeah.
And then I think they're going to be good enough to get one. I think that there could be three teams from their division in the playoffs this year. But and maybe they win a playoff game. But I think that they still have more work to do. And especially, we don't know what the rookie quarterback's going to do.
Right.
I think in another year or two, he'll be ready. But to expect that much out of him as a rookie is asking too much.
As I mentioned, there was a text from the 941, not pleased with the job I'm doing, keeping everybody updated on the picks tonight. So I should catch folks up on that. Last we checked, and if you want me to go back further than this, Google is a thing. You know, you could do that as well. But last we checked, Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver out of LSU, went to Jacksonville. After that, couple picks in the NFC North. The Lions go cornerback with Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. The Packers go offensive line with Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle from Arizona. Graham Barton, center from Duke, goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cardinals select Darius Robinson, edge rusher from Missouri. Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver from Texas, goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. More toys for Patrick Mahomes to play with. Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle from Oklahoma, goes 29 to the Cowboys. Nate Wiggins, the cornerback out of Clemson, a guy I really liked, he goes 30 to the Baltimore Ravens. And Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver from Florida, goes to the 49ers. And this one just came in. Xavier Leggett, another wide receiver that people were high on, out of South Carolina, he goes 32 to the Carolina Panthers.
I was just going to say, oh, the Carolina Panthers.
Yes.
I'm thinking Chiefs.
Oh, there was a trade. Oh,
okay.
There was a trade. The Chiefs and Panthers made a trade.
I still would have been right, though, because I thought the Chiefs would take a wide receiver, and that is the seventh wide receiver in the first round.
Wow.
And I think there's going to be six or seven more in the second round. I mean, that position, the tackles and the quarterbacks, those three positions, six quarterbacks in the first round, seven wide receivers in the first round. I'd have to go back and count the tackles, but I think there's at least five, there may be six tackles in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story of this draft. By the time we get to the third, fourth round of this draft, you're going to be talking about all, you know, late day three prospects. So I'm not saying you can't get anything later, but if ever there was a draft to not have any picks after the fourth pick, after your fourth round pick, this would be the year. So the Bears aren't in as big a trouble there as they would be in another year without those picks.
And to Hub's point, you look at this first round so far, and save for a few picks like the Michael Penix pick and Jordan Morgan from Arizona goes to the Packers, pretty chalky. A lot of the guys that we thought were going to be the top guys were in fact selected in the first round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many. I saw a few drafts that had Rome Odunze slipping to the Bears at 9, but a lot of the mock drafts had him going before then. But yeah, you're right. A lot of it did absolutely go chalk. The two picks in division, Hub, with the Lions taking Terrion Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama, the Packers just love offensive linemen. And I've worked in Milwaukee a long time, Hub. If they like an offensive lineman, I like that guy too. They just seem to know what they're doing in terms of drafting and developing guys at that position. But Terrion Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama, going to Detroit, it was certainly a position of need, cornerback for that Lions team. Mm-hmm. But it's that much more of a need when you're looking at what the Bears did at wide receiver, Justin Jefferson in Minnesota. We saw Jordan Love and his wide receiver core sort of emerge and develop and improve as last season went along. You have some high-flying offenses in this NFC North that teams like the Lions are going to have to account for in the way that they construct their roster.
You know, Rami, that's something we haven't really talked about at all. But what do you think right now the Lions and the Vikings and the Packers are thinking about having to deal with the Bears passing game? without even knowing about Williams yet, but knowing what they've got in the receiver positions and the running backs, I mean, they've got to have the whole division thinking now with what they've done in the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it really changes a lot.
It brings me back to, and this obviously didn't end in a Super Bowl, but the last time they had a core like this of Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and Martellus Bennett and Matt Forte coming out of the backfield, the Bears had weapons that the rest of their division had to account for and plan for.
I was just thinking during the last break, when was the last time anybody asked themselves, how am I going to deal with the Bears offense? I mean, I don't think I've ever heard that question asked.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I mean, this is looking like a big deal. It really is.
And last year, during Justin Fields' struggles, and as I was having that debate with people back and forth, I would always say, forget position. They don't have playmakers. They don't have difference makers. They don't have guys on that side of the ball that opposing defenses have to game plan for and try and stop. They point him and they go, that's a guy we have to stop. They did something about that this offseason and added, well, the quarterback and two of those types of guys to his wide receiver core.
You know, one other thing before we go to a break, because we haven't talked about this at all, but I think we need to, is Matt Eberflus, I think, was treated very unfairly last year by the media and by fans.
I might have been part of that.
We're all part of it. You know, I mean, you get off to an 0-4 start, that's what's going to happen. Okay, but the reality is the two problems with the two coaches that had to be replaced, that's not on him. I mean, you know, what was going on there, those were personal issues that had nothing to do with football. And really, it wasn't his job to be checking on those things. You know, you want to do better, obviously. But that doesn't make him a bad coach, okay? And then when you look at what he did the second half of the season, when you look at what he did with that defense, I thought Flus had a really good year, too. And people may start to realize that the Bears may have a pretty good head coach. I don't know yet. I still need one more year out of him because the first year wasn't pretty. But I don't think he's gotten enough credit for what he did, especially the second half of last season. And now you look at the moves that they've made and what a better position they're going to be in to start the season. I think it's going to be a very interesting year for Matt Eberflus.
I wouldn't mind having that conversation a little bit more on the other side of, because I'm not a big fan of Matt Eberflus. And maybe you can change my mind, but we can have that discussion, talk more about tonight's draft. The phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. You can drop us a text there as well. We'll hear from Ryan Poles. That's Hub Arkish. I'm Rami Makhlouf. It's night one of draft coverage right here on 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.